Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I am Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
Soul Hackers 2 is a SMT game. So if you don't know what that is, there's five of them. They're JRPGs, and then they've kind of spun off into these other series. So the big top line headline is it's Persona. Persona, it started off as a spinoff of SMT and has kind of eclipsed that now. They're tough. They're weird. They've got a lot of weird things about them, and frankly, I don't like them.
That's really funny.
Now.
Nice. And you've played a lot of them. I think
I have played Persona. I've played Persona 3, 4, 5, SMT 3, and SMT 5. I have never made it more than 10, 15 hours into a Persona game. I finished 3 and 5 with the, like, dear God, I'm sick of this easiest never die difficulty turned on for, like, the last 5 hours just to get the end of the story. But this is the first one I've actually played through, like, as I probably should have.
Oh, like, legit. Oh, nice.
Yeah. What I kind of want to start with is what is an SMT game and what, in my mind, this one does differently that makes this stick out. So the first thing with most SMT games is the story is very apocalyptic. Almost all of them involve some kind of world-ending event involving demons and this other world and kind of just the world ending because of something that's happening with these characters. Soul Hackers 2 is the same idea. Basically, what the story is this all-knowing AI has developed outside of humans' understanding. Like, we have no concept of this thing. And basically, this thing sees that something in the next couple weeks is going to end the world. So for the first time in its existence, it creates these two avatars to go into the world and directly intervene to prevent the apocalypse from happening. Again, fairly on board if you know the SMT stuff.
And God just happened to make them into two hot anime girls. Continue.
Not God. This all-knowing AI
All-knowing AI.
What Doug's hinting at here is that SMT really does play into a lot of religious tropes. This one has that as well in a different sect, which is basically how the world's going to end, is somebody's going to get these things called the Five Covenant, which are these super powerful things that enhance a demon summoner's ability. And once you have all five, you summon the Great One, who can basically reset the world, destroy the world, reset the world. It kind of gave me like Dragon Ball vibes.
Absolutely.
But these things live inside of and you have to kill the person to get it out of it. So you've got it, and I think that's kind of the interesting piece with this is it's not just this like these demons are destroying the world. It's this demons, this technology, this AI. You've got a lot of different pieces at play. And I think that that's really interesting compared to just an SMT where it's just pure demon stuff. You've kind of got this little added piece here, or Persona, where you get into all these social relationships and things like that.
Yeah, the art design, too, because I play a little bit, really leans, like, tech-heavy as well. While, like, SMT typically leans more religious-heavy, this one does that, but also does, like, a lot of really tech-heavy. It actually looks really slick. I really love how the game looks compared to SMT games. It's much more bright and neon-y. And, technology kind of thing.
Very, you know, 500 years in the future type look that you kind of get with sci-fi. So again, part of SMT games is these demons. You're demon summoners, and the same thing here. So essentially the combat is turn-based role-playing. You look for weaknesses, you hit weaknesses, you get bonuses based off that. The combat is basically the same. Stacking that, there are more advanced abilities as you go, where you can kind of start to get more and more stacks, where it's like, okay, I can get maybe like 4 or 5 turns this round. I can do damage 7 or 8 times because of the different buffs and perks that I have basically set up with my characters. Demons work like Pokemon if you haven't played an SMT game, where you kind of you go around and after you fight them, you defeat them once, you can convince them to join your party in kind of a fun, goofy way where like you'll talk to these demons and be like, oh, I'll join your party, but I need half your health. So you have to axe half your health in the middle of a dungeon to get this demon to join your party and your crew. Or it might ask for money, items, those types of things. And then
Is it as brutal as other games? Because I know some of the SMT games, it's like really brutal and they're like, haha, I'm not going to join you.
So
it's like, off.
And again, I think SMT 3 and 5 did this. I don't know if Persona does as much because I haven't gotten quite as deep into those. But those will do it where it's like, oh, well, to join your party, I'm kind of greedy. Could you give me 20,000 currency? And you give 20. It's like, well, so I'm not feeling too good. Could I have half your health? Sure. Okay, here you go. Now are you going to join me? ha, sucker, and then it just runs away. This doesn't do that. Everything yeah. was, at least everything oh, that I found was on the okay. level. I mean, maybe there's like one or two tricky ones, but everything I found was on the level. Like, here's health, done, moving on. And that's part of what I liked about this is a lot of things that SMT does, it kind of simplified down, and it really just kind of went, okay, we're going to kind of cut the shit, and we're just going to do like, you pay the demon, you get the demon. You yeah. do your turn, you get your full turn, whereas like Persona, sometimes you get like weird, like where your turn gets skipped and things like this based on that. It's like you're getting your turn no matter what. And it kind of cuts some of that shit.
Oh, even if you get hit with a weakness, your turn still happens?
Yeah. Yep. So again, it just it kind of cuts the shit compared to a lot of these. And it was fairly straightforward and easy. There were a couple bosses I got stuck on, and then maybe the last few hours started to put up some pretty solid challenge, but compared to other SMT, just not that rough, which again, these are all giant perks in my mind. Just another thing that I loved about this game, you have a good small party, you get your four characters super early, and those are your four the game, which is something that I always like in a JRPG. I think there's ways to do the kind of the rolling party. There's ways to kind of expand it as you go throughout the time. But I do like the just, hey, we've got our four core people here, and we're just going to see those four people kind of grow together and how outside characters interact with them, which I really, really liked. The characters kind of fit your normal roles. You've got kind of the brash guy. You've got the like kind of shady guy at the beginning. But they're all very well. The dialogue between them is great. There's some fun moments with them, and it just works really well.
And they're adults, which is a big step up from normal SMT games.
I think most of the SMTs are teenagers too, yeah. Which is a nice part. They're like, all these people are like very clearly well established, like they're adults, they've got these like where it's not just like running around with teenagers. Again, that's my biggest issue with Persona is the social link system and all of those kind of things where it's like, go make friends for 2 hours. Again, Soul Hackers, cut the shit. We're not doing that. You have dialogue options that'll pop up every now and then. And that's how you get social points is you pick the character's dialogue. So like, it's like, oh man, are we going to go into this? Let's go into this dungeon and do it. It's like three dialogue options. This one, kind of sassy. This one, on the level. This one, like, yeah, guys, let's do it. And each one goes to like a certain character's like soul link level.
Or social
level. So then it's like, okay, that's it. There's no like, let's go play basketball together and let's go to the store. You can go have a drink with them and it's just like a quick dialogue scene.
Is there anything clever with those? Because like in Persona, the issue I had with that is like, you could never give somebody like the hard truth, even if that kind of made more sense in the dialogue. It was just always like placate, placate, placate. Is that kind of the same thing here?
I think there's a couple where you're kind of like, not like hard truth, but you're kind of like, no, we're not doing that. But it's never,
and they'll still respect you.
I mean, there's never like this, like, well, I'm leaving then. Fuck off. Like, there's never that. Yeah. It's just always just kind of even keel response. And you might have like a three dialogue, because it's normally like you pick it, and then there's like four panes of dialogue that are different than it would have been depending on your character, and then you're right back to it. So at most, it's like, really? That's what you're going to say? And back into the normal dialogue. Yeah. No matter what.
Back in the normal dialogue. Yeah.
Grinding in this. Leveling. So I did have to grind a little bit, but what's nice is there's this huge, essentially optional area that you can just keep coming back to when you need to grind, which actually made me like, I actually just did it just because I was kind of curious here and there. I was like, I'm feeling a little under level. Let's go grind for like an hour. And what it is it's this basically most of your trying to get into like not spoilers here, but basically you soul hack is basically going into somebody's like memories and their souls and figuring out what things happen to them. So you go basically into like their soul, their brain, their memory, and you kind of unlock different pieces of your character's past. And that's basically where you go to grind. So it's like, okay, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to go see what's going on with Arrow. And I'm going to go through this thing completely optional. The levels kind of, there's different areas. So it scales up the whole way you play through it. So you can always go back to these. And it's just a really cool thing called the Soul Matrix where you can just kind of get into there and just kind of, okay, I can gain some more demons. I can gain some more levels and I can get some backstory. So it never felt like I had to just like, go back to the second dungeon because the second dungeon had demons that were hard enough for me to get some XP, but easy enough that I'm not really sitting here like stressed about it. It was always kind of something new to push you forward, which was just kind of one of those cool optional side pieces that I actually found useful, which I don't feel like I normally find that stuff useful.
Yeah. or usually they're so separate from the story. It's just like, do the tower of whatever, of infinite
levels. You made it to tower 1,372. Now the demons are level 30. Congratulations. Yeah. Here's a big potion. Yeah, yeah.
Persona had some of that issue. Yeah,
but again, it's all that stuff simplified. And that's what I love about it. Last thing I kind of want to point out here is just this thing took me maybe 20, 25 hours.
Yeah, really?
Which is my favorite part of this whole thing. Like, again, SMT Persona is like, it's like 120 hours of you like gone through it.
Yeah.
2025 took my time in a couple spots, ran through a couple spots, didn't really do much side mission stuff, but a 20-25 hour, like, fairly big budget triple AE feeling thing. Mm-hmm. They don't really exist, and it's nice. It's just this nice, tight. Didn't feel like there was a lot of wasted space. Didn't feel like there was a lot of wasted story. It was just kind of, we kind of kept it moving as we went. And I don't know. I really liked this game. And I was kind of shocked because I actually got it like dirt cheap. I think it's on Game Pass now too. But it's like one of those where it's like, for $15, I'll give that a shot. And I was just sure, beyond surprised because, again, probably my fifth, sixth SMT Atlas RPG. And it's the one that kind of stuck with me. And I know it's not even considered one of their like masterpieces. So. Pleasant surprise for Soul Hackers too. Really enjoyed my time with it. So
it's funny that SMT has this magnetism for you. Like it's like you keep giving it a shot. You keep giving it a shot. It's interesting
because people keep telling me how great they are. And it's just I can't with them. I don't know why. It's my same thing with like FromSoft games. It's like I have bought every FromSoft game since Bloodborne, and I have not put more than 4 hours into any of them.
that is really funny. Yeah,
and it was one of those things where it's like someday one is gonna hit. One of these is going to be my thing, and my thing is Soul Hackers 2, weirdly enough, which I don't.
It's so
not
funny.
The one I would have guessed, but
because I don't think it's Soul Hackers 3 is coming.
I don't think it is either. But hey, at least we got a good 20-25 hours. But we are Workforce Gaming. We try and get new videos up every Monday. Subscribe to our channel. Leave a comment below. We'll see you later.
Bye.